good. Only because I don't have that much time. What's it called? So I want to take up this, it's a very small sugya insofar as the actual real estate from the Gemara. But I find it to be, very, very interesting. It's like one of those areas where like you can read through and not realize like there's some very important concepts the Gemara is just grappling with. And if you, in my opinion, if you miss out on them, you won't really understand what the idea of a Zimun with tennis. So let's just first start with certain assumptions in place, okay? In other words, what we're going to be focusing on in this situation. So one thing we have to understand is that there is a pre-existing idea of a Zimun, right? What's a Zimun in its most basic sense? So we know that that if I eat and let's say someone else eats, two other people eat with me, right? We're all chayv to bench, right? We all have an independent chiyuv to recite Birkas Hamazon. And what a Zimun does is a Zimun creates a tziruf, okay? And as we all know, in creating the tziruf, there are two things that emerge. One is that I no longer, let's say, okay, fine. Let's say the two other guys can listen to me bench, and therefore they don't have to bench out loud. They can listen to me. And the second thing is that we have this Nevarech Shachanu Mishalo business that we say prior to Birkas HaMazon, okay? So we're just going to take those as axioms, okay? Those are the axioms I think you need to enter into this sugya. And just from a factual nature, we know that, and I'm not talking about psak, but just factually we know that if you go ahead and have 10 men eating together, so what's the difference in benching? The difference is Baruch Elokeinu Shachanu Mishalo. Okay, so that one little word is going to be, the source of a lot of, is going to be the real problem here. All right, so the Gemara says it is. The Gemara says, it's a memches on Aleph and Brachos. It says, Amar Rav Yehuda Berei Derav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. Right? So he says, Tisha, right, Dagon, Ve'echad Achal. Okay? Which they all learn out is Yerek. So what happened? So the case is that...
You kind of cut off for me.
Oh. Oh, sorry. I don't know. Okay. So again, the Gemara says that that nine people who ate bread, okay, and one person eats a vegetable. Let's say I don't care about the issue of Yerek versus A, B, C. There's a question some of the Achronim take up. Let's make it simple. All right, nine people ate bread, and the tenth ate a vegetable. So the Gemara says he can be mitzayer to the Zimun. Okay, meaning that the person who ate the vegetable, okay, can now be mitzaref to the other nine who ate bread, and then they can bench you saying Baruch Elokeinu Shachanu Mishalo. Okay. So the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Zira, Boy Minayim Rabbi Huda, Shmone Mahu. What about eight? Let's say eight people ate bread, and one ate vegetable, and two ate vegetable. What about that situation? Or Shiva Mahu. What about seven? Okay, so the Gemara says Amrlei Loshna, the tziruf would still work as well. Okay, so then the Gemara says Shisha Vadai Lomi Baile, right? But then the Gemara seems to come along and say, but six would never work. Why not? So Amrlei, meaning six eating bread and four eating yarek, that certainly wouldn't work. So the Gemara says, why not? Amrlei Rav Yirmiya Shabir Vadas Delo Ibayelach, right? Hasam Time Amai, right? Mishum Ikaruba. So Hachanami Ikaruba. So that's what you would have thought. You would have thought that since you have Rov should be sufficient. So therefore, the Gemara says Viu Savar Ruba de Min Karba Inand. Okay, which literally means that the Rov has to be Nicker. Okay, so six would be insufficient. In other words, six is Rov, but seven would be a recognizable Rov. Okay. All right. So that's it for the Gemara, by the way. We're gonna learn the Gemara now, not according to the Rishami, which Tosos brings down, but the simple pshat, which is going to be that we'll take this up later at the end. But the simple pshat meaning that that you need three people to have eaten bread first and foremost, right, to create Zimun, and then we can start talking about this ten business. Okay, as you'll see from Tosos, the Rishami says that this idea of a tziruv taking place with someone who ate a vegetable can even work in the creation of the Zimun itself. Let's just put that to the side for now. It's on a simple pashas of the Gemara is the way the Bavli is learning, which is that there is a chiyuv that there's already a chiyuv zimun in place, meaning three people ate bread, and there's already a chiyuv zimun, and now we're only dealing with the issue of 10. Okay? So we go back to the Gemara and we break it up step by step. It becomes extremely problematic. Okay? So I'm just going to lay out all the questions, okay? And then I think we can start defining it. But I'd say the first question I would ask is that the whole premise of the Gemara, in my opinion, seems ridiculous. In other words, what you should say is that the same way you need three people to eat bread to create Zimun, why wouldn't you assume that you need 10 people who ate bread to create this Zimun of Asara? In other words, it doesn't make sense. The Gemara is coming along and telling you, by the way, this works, meaning 9 eating bread and 1 eating vegetable works. The question is why? The Havamina seems to be a very compelling Havamina, that the only way you can have a Zimun of 10 is if 10 people ate bread. Now you have this business of one person coming to Mitzrayim who ate a vegetable. How does that work? Okay? So so the first thing that has to be explained is the Havamina Maskana in the overall Havamina Maskana in the Gemara. But I think that's the easy part. The hard part is, so what's the step-by-step here? In other words, first the Gemara says 9 and 1. Okay, fine. So then the Gemara says, yeah, but what about 8? What about 7? So clearly the Gemara is bothered, I mean, in my opinion, the Gemara is bothered by 9 and 1, right, and wants to make sure that 8 and 7 would work as well. But if that's true, then why didn't the Gemara just start off by saying 7? Because if 7 ate bread and 3 ate vegetable worked, then of course 9 eating bread and 1 eating a vegetable would work. You know what I mean? So there's something has to be defined in each of those steps. In other words, there's the initial 9 and 1, and then the Gemara is coming along and saying, well, what about 8? What about 7? Because I think, as you'll see, the Gemara is premising something else at that point. And then you have the next step in the Gemara, which is that, okay, well, then why not? What about Rov? So the Gemara seems to say, but Rov would never work. Okay, but why not? Right? And what's this idea of Ruba de Minkar? Who is it nicker to? And why does that make it, in other words, why isn't Rove sufficient? The fact that 6 people ate bread should be fine. That's what Rove is. Rove means a majority. What's this extra requirement of Ruba de Minkar, where you have somehow, by having 7, it's clearly recognizable that this is a Rove? But I don't understand. If I saw 10 people, right, the example I was giving was like, I don't know if I can get that on tape, that example I gave, but whatever. Point is that if I was looking at if I was looking at ice cream, okay? I was looking at ice cream flavors, right? And I was looking there's 6 scoops of vanilla and 4 scoops of strawberry, and they're all individual scoops. It's easy for me to say that the majority is the vanilla. I mean, once I have 6, that's Rove. What's Ruba de Minkar? What is Ruba de Minkar even talking about? All right, so those are the questions in the Gemara, okay? Right. Okay. So hold on one second. There we go. Does anyone else have any additional questions that they want to ask on the Gemara? I'll take that as a no. Okay, good. So let's take the first step. Okay. What's the Havamina? Let's just take the first step. All right. The Gemara, in other words, if I approach the Sugya, I would think that a person, that the only way to produce a Zimun of Asara is by having 10 people who ate bread, all right? And the Gemara is telling you that's not true. That's not the case, okay? Forget the 9 and 1 for a second. Forget the specifics of 9 and 1 and 7 and 3, right? The first step to take is, again, I'm trying to make this methodologically clear as possible. The first step to take is going to be, there's a general Havamina the Gemara has, and then the Gemara is saying, don't look at the Zimun of Asara this way, look at it that way. So what's that first step? Yes, Ellie.
Yeah. Well, I just think this original step would look at 10 and the next one, 3. You need the Zimun of 3, there's also a Zimun of 1. Do both.
Right, okay, right. So that's easy, right? In other words, right, so that's got to be the Havamina. The Havamina is easy. The Havamina is going to say is that there are 2 separate Chiyuve Zimun. Right, there's a Zimun called 3 and a Zimun called 10. And they're 2 different, almost as if to say, they're 2 different benchings. Right? There's a benching that takes place with the Zimun of 3, and there's a different benching that takes place with the Zimun of 10. Yes, I understand that it's only a 1-word difference, but it doesn't matter. It's a qualitatively, by adding the word Elokeinu, it creates a qualitatively different experience altogether. Okay? Halavai, because that's like the easiest way to learn. I mean, that would be the best thing in the world. It certainly fits the intuitive way to think about how this should work. So, okay, good. So what's the Gemara's overall maskana? In other words, what's the Gemara telling you? And don't just say it's not, it's what do you call it? It's not completely different than a Zimun of three.
Oh, you just say it's some
sort of
modified Zimun of three. It's a modified Zimun of three where you add in some ritual.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay, good. In other words, I think you're right. In other words, what's happening here? So the Gemara is telling you that the Zimun of Asara, right, is really essentially a concept in Shevach, meaning the nature of the Tziruf, the nature of, in other words, you have a Zimun of three, right, and Zimun of three is benching in a certain way, right, with, by the way, with Shevach, right? But now this Asara comes along, and what it's saying is that there's this additional Shevach that 10 demands, right? That is what do you call it? that is entering into the scene here. In other words, there's a certain type of shevach that you're giving through a zimun of asara, right? And that's what's going to create the nature of the tziruf. Okay, but if that were true, okay, then and this is the key move right here. If that were true, then you'd have to come to a conclusion that the Gemara itself never entertains as a possibility. Because if what you're saying is correct, you would have to tolerate, at this point, the Gemara does not give this possibility, but logically, you'd have to posit this and then demonstrate why it's not the case. What am I looking for?
Three men who break bread and seven commandments.
Exactly. Very good. In other words, you're going to have to say, if you say it's really a din in Shevach, then you'd have to tolerate the possibility that three people eat bread, seven eat vegetable, and you should be able to, what do you call it, bench with 10? You should be able to do the Shevach. That's the key point here. In other words, if you want to take it out of the realm of saying it's a different kind of benching and just say that it's a unique Shevach that's given in the context of benching itself, which is fine, you're going to run into a serious problem because you're going to have to tolerate the possibility that you can have a situation of three people eating bread and seven eating a vegetable, and that should create a chi of Zimun of Asara. And the Gemara never entertains that possibility. Never entertains that possibility. You understand that point? That it's such a key point. That's the key. Because, right, and if you don't, that's what I'm saying, if you don't go through this Gemara carefully, step by step, you can easily miss that. You know, it's not enough just to say, well, there's a Shevach here. If that were true, then the majority should be able to be vegetable eaters. Okay, so now comes the tricky part. Because now we want the best of both worlds. And this is where it's going to be very difficult. And by the way, this is exactly the struggle that the Gemara is going to go through. We want the best of both worlds. Because on the one hand, we want to say that this thing is a unique type of Shevach, right? But at the same time, somehow the Gemara can't divorce it from the original Zimun, okay? So, or in other words, it wants to have the cake and eat it too. Somehow it's going to try to work this out. So how does it work it out, okay? But in other words, again, it's before we go to the next step, it's critical to understand these two steps. First, the Gemara is saying that it's a different benching altogether. Then the Gemara is saying that, no, it's a din in Shevach, which is fine. But if once you say it's a din in Shevach, then you should be able to tolerate an idea of rove of the group not eating bread. As long as three people ate bread, Zimun's present. And now it's just a question of Shevach, of this additional Shevach. Good. So far, so good?
Yeah.
What about Horowitz? You okay over there?
Nope.
Okay. So what do you say?
Rambam said to keep your words short, even in Torah.
Oh. So you just violate that?
I was doing it to Josh keep his words short.
Oh, okay. So what do you say? So what's the first step in the Gemara? And so that I don't get accused of hiding facts, okay? The fourth and fifth source I added on the source sheet, okay, I added that there just to help, just to give like an assist insofar as I don't like to use the word precedent, but it seems that way, like a certain precedent that exists by minyan of tefillah, okay, and I think that's where you're going to have to look to. You don't have to know that much about it. But if you can use that, in other words, if you develop a svara of 9 and 1, you could turn to the case by tefillah, a similar case of 9 and 1, right, and see if the svara works. You understand? There's that. That's what I, when we were doing this area, that's what I was thinking about. I thought that, like, okay, well, it's not a coincidence that this is 10 and the minion is 10. And then we also see a funny idea by minion as well. Just as an example, by minion, we see a concept, forget how we paskin, but I mean, Tosos does bring this down. But the point is, we see a concept of if 9 men over the age of bar mitzvah get together, right, and they need a 10th, and the 10th happens to be someone under bar mitzvah, you see it works. We also see by minion, right, there's an idea that let's say 7 people did not daven, right, and 3 people did daven already. Those 3 people could be mitzaref to the 7, and you have a minion. So you see there's a precedent. There's some type of precedent for the concept of a large group, right, where you're looking for a minion. You have a large group. It's incomplete. And somehow you can produce a completed group, even though not every single person is, is someone who's chayev. Well, I don't want to use that word yet, but someone who's, even though some people, they're not going to be participating. So what do you say? What do you say? Let's take the 9 and 1 first. What do you say about the 9 and 1? What's interesting about the idea of a katan being able to be mitzaref to a minion of 9 men? Like, why is that an odd idea? You see by a minion where you have 9 men in one katan that the katan's not a bar hachi of tefillah, right? There's no chiv there. There's no chiv in a katan, right? So let me ask you a question. Again, we don't have to know that many details, but how does it work then? What's it telling us, right, by the fact that if you have 9 men and 1 katan, right, what's allowing him, but to be fair, by the way, when we say katan, we don't just mean a baby, we mean like a bar chinuch, okay? Yeah. He's just not chayv in mitzvahs. That being the case, so what do you see there? So what's the Gemara telling, what's the Chum telling you by having this concept emerge, that a katan, he's not a bar chiv, yet, but what? But he's not nothing. You know what I mean? Or in other words, here, I'll even help you out a bit. Let's just swing back to eating for a second, okay? To get the analogy, the parallels clear. Let's go back to eating for a second. So by eating, what do you see? So you have 9 people had bread, right? This guy had a vegetable, right? He's definitely not a bar chiv of benching. No way, right? He's not. But somehow he can be mitzaref. Okay, so you see the parallel? A katan is not a bar chiyuv of tefillah, but somehow can be mistarev. And ochel yarek, right, is not a bar chiyuv of benching, right? Yet somehow he can be mistarev. Okay, so what's the next step now?
What are they accomplishing if not adding you into the group?
Right, or no, it's right. What's the mechanism here? What's the mechanism? So, in other words, let's just think about it for a second. In other words, but if I ask you, like, functionally, right, what's the katan doing vis-a-vis the other 9? Because if I asked you beforehand, if I said to you, a minion's 10 men over bar mitzvah, so I say if I have 9 men over bar mitzvah, right, and the 10th one is not, then I don't have a minion, period, right? But if you're going to tell me that I can make a minion with the katan, who's not a bar chiyuv, right, so what's he doing vis-a-vis the minion itself? And what does that tell us about the 9 men prior to the katan coming along? In other words, that you're going to have to go down that road. You're going to have to say something like that when you have 9 men, right? Or the word I'm looking for is the katan's a mashlim. It's a hashlama. Meaning that, in other words, that if you look at, there's 2 ways you can look at 9 men. You could say, I have nothing, right? I have 9 individuals. Or you could say, and it's an interesting idea, but that there is some reality of minyan, right? If you want to say en potentia, whatever, but there's some reality, some character there that the katan's coming along and being mashlim. Yes, Ellie. We're not saying differently. In other words, the point is correct. In other words, there's it's not that 10 is like a magic number. Rather, there is a reality of the ability to engage in tefillah b'tzibur that's already present, right? And the katan is simply he's being mashlim. But here's the thing: but being a mashlim, but a rock could be, according to that, why can't a rock be mashlim, right? So it's not just that, the fact that the, what?
Are you trying to make a group of people and have a group of people?
Right. No, exactly. Right. In other words, right. And the person has to be in other words, it's true. He may not be chayiv in tefillah, right? But there has to be some reality of him in, having, let's say by the katan, having some knowledge of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, like some basic knowledge of the phenomenon of the Shevach. So the same thing can definitely take place by eating. Eating works out beautifully. Because if you say the eating of bread is a unique, a qualitatively different experience, right? And therefore the vegetable eater, so he has no halachic mechanism to really engage in this. He's not part of this unique eating experience called bread eating. The nine bread eaters, right? There's already a reality of the ability to give shevach present. But the fact is that what is the Ochel Yerek ultimately? He's still what? He's still an eater, right? In other words, you can't say he's not removed from the phenomenon of eating itself. So therefore he can function as a mashlim to take the nine and bring them home. Okay? But that's why it can't be a guy just sitting at the table. You know what I mean? Can't be a guy sitting at the table and now he's mistarif. There has to be some, that the eating is what at least is going to give him the means of engaging in the shevach. Okay? That's the nine in one. Okay? But it's so, in my opinion, is that clear? So what I want to say though is that now the Gemara doesn't like this. It's an interesting thing. The Gemara now says, I'm not sure that's the way the Zimun of Asara works. Again, our premise being that the Zimun of Asara really essentially is an idea of Shevach, right? But you'll say that when it comes to the idea of the Zimun, right, you still need, it's like minyan in the sense of nine and then the tenth is Mashlim. The Gemara now says, no, there's another way to look at it. The Gemara doesn't like this way of looking at it. It wants to transition to a different way of looking at it. Okay? And again, underneath this is really the Gemara, in my opinion, is the Gemara struggling to understand what exactly is the nature of this Shevach that the Zimun of Asara gives. So what's the difference between nine and the Katan being Mashlim, right? Or let's say seven, right? Let's say by Tefillah, seven people who didn't daven and three people who did. What's the difference there? And then how does it relate back, let's say, to the case of eating? Yeah, you're going to have to go. You have to look at the Gemara and realize that the idea of Mashlim and the idea of 3 to 7 are two completely different ideas. Okay, they're not the same mechanism. Mashlim is one type of mechanism. If you look carefully, that's the difference between the case of 9 and Katan versus 7 and 3 Vredi Davin. There's a huge difference between the two. Because by the case of the Katan, he's not a Bar Hachiyah Tefillah at all, okay? But by the case of, let's say, the three who've already davened, okay? So what the Gemara is saying is that, let's say by Minyan. In other words, they may not be Chayiv in this Shevach, right? In the Shevach HaTefillah, but they can certainly participate. In other words, they can function as a participant in the Tefillah. I'll put it in the terms of eating, you'll see what I mean. In other words, think about it. If you look at the experience of eating bread as a qualitatively different experience, that's the idea of Ashlama. But what if I said no? What if I said that if 10 people eat together, right, and 7 eat bread, right, and 3 eat a vegetable, okay? What if I said that the guys eating bread certainly are chayiv to bench, right? The guys eating vegetables, right, so now they're eating vis-a-vis, or in relation to the eating bread is like deficient. It's not as superior of an experience, right? But they're certainly eating, and they're chayiv in a bracha achrona, and they're certainly eating no differently than the guy is eating what do you call bread, right? So they're not coming to be mashlim. That's not a hashlama. Rather, what they're doing is they're saying that they're able to participate in the shevach through the fact that they're eating just like these bread eaters are eating. Okay, the first way of learning is not saying that. The first way of learning is looking at the guy eating a vegetable as not even a bar hachi whatsoever of this phenomenon, right? He's just being a mashlim. But here it's different. Here it's saying that the seven guys eating, right, they're having great food, right, and the guys eating vegetables are having like not such great food, right? But the fact is, they're all able, they're, by virtue of the fact that they're all eating, that tzirv can emerge. You understand? There's a huge difference there. That one question from the Gemara, in my opinion, of going from 9-1 to 8-7, isn't just saying, like, Josh, I think that's the road you were going down. It's not just saying, well, if it works by one, why not work by two? That's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying 9-1 is one phenomenon, right? But the Gemara is saying, that's not that, we don't like that one. What about this phenomenon? Meaning you could look at it as a phenomenon of seven. Phenomenon of 7-3 is different than 9-1. 9-1 is a din and hashlama. 7-3 is not hashlama. 7-3 is looking at the eating of bread in a different way. It's saying that all of them are eaters, right? All of them are chayv in a bracha achrona. The seven people who ate had a superior eating experience. So therefore, the nature of their shavach will be, a greater shavach. But that doesn't mean, but the other three people, they're still able to participate. By definition, they're participants. Just like by minyan. The three people come along to make up to the, you have seven who didn't daven and three who did. They're answering amen to the brachos, right? They're participants. You know what I mean? So they naturally are part of the group. You know what I mean? Okay. Now it gets really. This is the hard part. Okay, because now the Gemara says fine, but then the Gemara says, well, why not? Whatever. But you would never say shisha. You wouldn't say rov. Now this is the tricky part. You got to be careful here. Because I'm going to add in one assumption I made, which you don't have to agree with, but I think there's another qualitative step here. Where the Gemara is now saying, when the Gemara now pushes to six, but then learns Ruba de Minkar, I think the Gemara is also, again, it's pivoting a bit away from the idea of the 7-3, okay? And looking at and saying there's another way to look at the idea of the Shevach, okay? And the hard question answer is, what's Ruba de Minkar? What does that even mean? Like, I don't understand. Yamanashach, I have six people, and six people's Rov, right? That's Rov. Or I'll put the question a different way. Why is the Gemara, when the Gemara says eight or seven, here's the key thing. It's not saying eight or seven knowing about Ruba de Minkar. You understand? Eight and seven is really trying to present idea number two in the construct of Zimun. Then the Gemara says, here's another way to learn Zimun, which is really six. But we just can't have six because we read Ruba de Minkar, so that's why it's seven. But it's not a din in seven. That's the key. In other words, the fact that I need seven is a din in Rov. You understand? In other words, the Iker idea the Gemara is moving to now is that there's some sort of idea of Rov here. It just happens to be, which we don't know why yet, that when it comes to the Rov of Zimun, you need seven instead of six. But the point is the Gemara is shying away now from the 7-3 idea, now going with the idea of Rov. What's the Gemara's move here? What's the Gemara trying to push us towards? Or in other words, another way to ask it is, what's bothering the Gemara? Let's go slowly here. In other words, we have six guys, forget the Ruba de Minkar for a second. We have six guys who ate bread and four who did not. All right? So I'll start with the way Ellie put it. So what are we trying to do now? What are we trying to do? Right? So if I ask you normally what Rov means, right? So Rov is a fancy way in halacha of saying that if I have, let's say, a mixture, right? So that the majority gives the mixture a certain character. That's normally how you look at Rov, right? Okay. So what's the problem here? I have six guys, right? I have six guys who ate bread, right? And in fact, I'd even say that what do I have? I have already in place a Zimun, right? Of three. And now I've built off that three more guys. In other words, we're building off that Zimun now, right? That's the key here. You're building off the Zimun. I have a Zimun already of Nivarech Shachana Mishalo, right? Of three. And now we're building off the three. It happens to be three more. A fourth guy joined us and a fifth guy joined us. Let's just do it that way, right? And a sixth guy joined us. And now, I have six people who have now, who've eaten bread. But what I look at it as that my Zimun now is six strong, okay? Meaning I had three and now I'm building off of that. So now what am I trying to do with these four other people? Or another way to look at it is if I have these 10 people, six who ate bread and four who did not, right? What's the Gemara telling us now? Or let's just take, to try to enunciate what I think Ellie was trying to say. In other words, let's understand something here. If I have six guys who ate bread, okay? And again, this is the last pivot in the Gemara. Six guys ate bread and four did not, okay? So let me ask you a question. In other words, let's understand the nature of the mechayev of the shevach of Zimun of Asara, okay? Where's the chiyuv generated from? Again, we have a Zimun, right? We already have a Zimun in place. We have three who ate bread. So the phenomenon of Zeman's already in existence, right? And now we're just building off of that. We're building more people onto that Zeman, right? So what's the idea of Rove telling us here? Okay, in other words, yes, it's true that the four people who ate vegetables, right? Yes, they're chayev to what they call to give bracha chrona, and they're able to participate in the shevach. But what's the idea of Rove teaching us here? What has to be? In other words, again, Rove is an idea that Rove itself is a concept of nicker. What is Rove telling us? That really, let's think about it. Really, all of them should give shevach now, right? All of them should give shevach. But I need to have Rove, right, of the 10, right, that ate bread because of why? In other words, what Rove is telling us is that it has to be, right, that, in other words, the only reason why, in other words, it has to be recognizable. It's true everyone has to give shevach, but it has to be, Rove means that it has to be recognizable in the very character of the group that the reason for this extra shevach is because of the bread that was eaten. You understand? That's how the group has to be defined. The group has to be defined as one that everyone is giving the shevach, but the reason why you're giving the shevach, you could point to the Rove. That's the source of the reason why the shevach is even existing to begin with. That has to be in the group. That has to be clear in the group. So if that's true, right, if you buy that, then what's Ruba de Minkar telling you? So this is tough. You're going to have to, there's really not much to work on, to work with in this Ruba de Minkar business. But what would you have to say? In other words, what I'm saying about Ruba de Minkar is that the Gemara is suggesting that it's the same idea of Rove, it's just expressed with more than the normal Rove. But it's another concept of Rove. You understand? There's Rove of 6, and then there's Ruba de Minkar, which means it's more than your normal Rove. It's not a din in 7. You understand? The din in 7, that was the Gemara before. It's that the Rove required now is more, it's a chumrah in Rove. Let's put it that way. It's a chumrah in Rove itself. I think there's a lot of ways you can go here because the Gemara is not clear. So you could also say that for whatever reason why, right, the fact that this is a shevach, that you're saying the Shem Hashem, that phenomenon requires more of a clear expression that this is being generated by the bread eaters. Okay, so it could be just because of the fact that it's shevach. In other words, I think we can all agree that there is that the idea of Ruba de Minkar here is an idea in, it's another way of expressing a Rove, okay? But it's just hard to understand specifically what is it about this situation that requires it. So I'm saying you could speculate that it's a din in shevach. I hear you're saying, Ellie, you could also say that for whatever reason why we don't want another bigger group threatening the, you know, the uniqueness. You know what I mean? You can go to a lot of different directions. I'm not sure. It's not easy. I just know one thing. I know that Ruba de Minkar here just means that in so far as the standard of Rove is concerned, there's a chumrah that they attach to benching. Okay, but it's still Rove. That's the key. It's still Rove. It's just a different, it's not the Rove that you're used to. You know what I mean? It's another idea of Rove, but it's still the same concept of Rove. So one last point, okay? One last point. So you get this Yerushalmi, right? The Yerushalmi is very, we've been learning this Gemara all along based on one premise, which is that you need a Zimun of 3, right? And then a 10 is like the modifier, right? But the Yerushalmi that Tosos quotes says, not so fast, man, not so fast. Because it turns out that based on the Yerushalmi, I could have 2 people eating bread and 1 eating a vegetable, and I can create a Zimun. So what's the machlokas? And by the way, of course, over there, no one has a havmina that if 2 people ate a vegetable and 1 person ate bread, that would work. No one says that. You know what I mean? I'm not going to take that as a legitimate havmina. In other words, Ruba de Minkar or Rove must applies by the cases of, even according to Yerushalmi as well. So what would you say the machlokas is? it's really looking at it's an interesting thing because it's really looking at kind of the relationship between the shevach that you're giving the Nevarech Shachan Mishalo business and benching itself, right? So if you say that first I have chiyuv of zimun benching, right? That's the initial chiyuv, right? So of course that can only emerge with three who eat bread, and then the shevach of the asaras coming along as a modifier of that. Then of course the original three have to be bread eaters. But what's the other way of learning? Ellie, you were saying good. What's the other way of learning?
Oh, that all along, yeah, we're not trying to make something called Zima was trying to make it better then.
Exactly. That's what Zima's trying to accomplish, right? So that'd be the other way to learn. Good. So, so I have to go in like a couple minutes, but just as far as halacha lemaisa is concerned. So when you have a chance, take a look at the Mechaber. The Mechaber is very funny. Because he cites all the sources. And it's a good question of from a Psak standpoint, how we paskin today. Okay. But that's not my concern. Okay. What I care about this is, I think to me, this is a really good example of a Gemara, right? That really reflects, like, you know, the Derech that we love using, that it shows you that if you go step by step, I think you can really see the struggle the Gemara is going through and trying to understand what the idea of a Zimun of Asara actually is. So I think it works out very, very nicely. So any other questions? Shkayach. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And Shavua Tov.